Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, all we hear about is the sequester. It's just something we didn't hear about. Nobody knew the word before, but now we know the word, and it means everybody's taking a big cut, including public radio. So my question to you is, you know, put this into perspective for us so that we have some idea about how it relates to the U.S. debt.
Well, I mean, obviously, this was a compromise position that came out of the super committee that was never really supposed to be enacted, right? You probably heard a lot about this, but the goal was to create cuts that were kind of so dramatic and so unpalatable that it would force Democrats and Republicans to get together to create a new, better round of cuts. And of course, Democrats were hoping to have some revenue increases in there as well. But of course, you know, this is Washington, D.C. we're talking about. This is kind of the new polarized, entrenched party system that we're talking about. And so, you know, they were not able to come to a new compromise. And so we get these rather significant cuts. And what it basically means over the next about 7 months is about $44 billion in drawdown for this kind of fiscal year, for the 7 months coming down in federal domestic spending, which is a really big amount. It may not seem like that much, but in over 7 months, it has
some trillions real effects. In debt, right?
We are, absolutely, and so the goal is to bring down the overall debt by $1.2 to $3 trillion over the next decade. So that, you know, that's a big number, and you know, I think we've heard a lot about austerity in Europe. This policy really, in some ways, creates an austerity here in the United States. And so, you know, for those who are highly concerned about deficits and debts, this is, in some ways, a step in the right direction. It may not be a real artful way of going about that reduction, but it does draw it down. Those who are concerned, though, about the state of the economy, right? I mean, there are essentially kind of three major sources of spending: governmental spending, kind of corporate private spending, and then consumer spending. Kind of a down economy, the private sector tends to dry up, consumers stop spending, and so that means that we're more reliant on governmental spending. And when we have dramatic cuts like this, there's a lot of concern that this will really force the economy kind of back towards recession, maybe not into recession, but kind of to slow down its growth. So there's a lot of concern about the sequester. And also there's a lot of concern about what it means for the next series of negotiations about spending, including keeping the government open for business, in terms, you know, because there was no real movement towards compromise, and absent you know, some kind of dialogue, some kind of real discussion, it raises concerns about what's coming down the pipeline.
Well, let's put it this way. There are those of us who think, somewhat conspiratorially, that both sides actually wanted this cut, and therefore that the question then becomes who gets the blame, as opposed to, you know, the idea that we're doing this.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the notion that the ultimate success is likely going to turn on the polling numbers coming down the pipeline, right, about whether, in fact, people feel the sequester, whether, in fact, they believe that this has adversely impacted the state of the country. That's really crucial here because, I mean, you've heard two different arguments. The Obama administration has really been stumping recently, saying that, you know, these will be felt. These are bad for, you know, kind of average Americans. And Republicans have said, look, you know, this isn't that big of a deal, right? That it's a drawdown, and that you're you know, you might feel a little bit, but probably not very much. And it's a step that is necessary, right?
But they're I'm sorry, Brad, but they're also playing the defense card. They're saying, this guy Obama, he's leaving you undefended. We need another nuclear submarine.
Yeah, although I think it's interesting because the Republican caucus in Congress is a bit split on that. There have been, you know, individuals kind of in the Tea Party wing of the party that have said that they're not that concerned about military spending. Then maybe it's actually time to draw that down too. So I think you've heard that a little bit less than what we might have expected to, but you do hear it from certain segments of the Republican Party. But I mean, this is a really interesting game then, right? And I think it sets up what's going to come down for a potential government shutdown in late March, right later this month. And then also we have once again the specter of the debt ceiling, because the United States will hit that sometime projected, I think, in late June, early July. So, you know, we have more of these kind of pending crises, and there has to be something that kind of begins to push these two parties towards some type of an agreement to keep the government open and to do something about the debt ceiling.
We also, Brad Hayes, have a congressional election coming up not that long from now. And so part of this has got to be trying to pin the tail on the donkey for Obama to make the Republicans the bad guys and get himself a House of Representatives again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've heard the Obama administration really make that shift, right? They've said that they're going to use kind of their new interest group, this Organization for Action, to try to pick up seats and, well, to try to pull a Democratic majority in the 2014 election. And, you know, that's a really interesting and, I think, in some ways, risky strategy. It's interesting because since FDR, only Clinton has, in the second term midterm elections, picked up seats for the president's party. And as a consequence, you know, it's really hard to do historically.
If you threaten, you better deliver, because otherwise you're going to have a lot of nasty hornets
on
your side.
Right, and that's just it, right? And so when you think about trying to get these two together, right, you know, how likely will it be that Republicans are willing to work towards any legislative compromise with the administration, you know, if in fact they know that the Obama administration is out for blood in the 2014 election? And that puts other issues on the table, too. Immigration, gun control, you know, some of these things might be packaged together. So I think it does make compromise that much more difficult. That being said, there hasn't been much compromise over the last several years. So, you know, in some ways, I think one could sympathize with the position of the Obama administration saying that, you know, we can only work with our party moving forward. So we're going to really try to shoot for that in 2014.
We only got 2 minutes left, but I wanted to talk to you about something that's really wacky. Dennis Rodman's trip to North Korea. You know, I mean, I always wonder whether or not any of this stuff is either pre-planned or not, whether or not there's something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I have to express my surprise. I didn't think on Congressional Corner we'd ever talk about Dennis Rodman.
But whatever comes up, whatever comes to my mind, I ask you about.
Right. No, I mean, it is odd. I mean, it's very odd. I mean, it's odd for, I think, all parties involved. It's odd in the sense that, you know, why would you bring, you know, Dennis Rodman over, who doesn't seem to have much purchase in popular, certainly political culture today. But then, you know, I'm not clear on what he got out of it either.
He got a lot of publicity.
Yeah, I guess so.
And people see him as a sort of a wacko.
Yeah, right. But anyway, you know, it is interesting. You know, North Korea does strange things to get attention. I think, you know, some of them are
now you got
are,
two guys doing strange things to get attention.
Right. You know, some of them are highly alarming. Maybe, in fact, this is a step forward. The Dennis Rodman versus, detonating another nuclear device.
Well, in the old days, they'd send Bill Richardson to do this kind of work.
Well, right. That maybe actual real work would have gotten done if someone other than Rodman would have gone. But that was definitely an oddity of the last political month.
It's always great to talk to Brad Hayes, assistant professor of political science at Union College. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. Brad Hayes, always a great pleasure to have you here.
It's always my treat.